All right, if you want to open up to Exodus 14, we'll start with our theme scripture. Now, I'm just going to apologize in advance for the people who've heard a version of this talk. When I was asked to give this talk, the instruction was to give my best talk since for the year. Now, being that I've only given one talk in the year, I can say safely say it's my best talk. So, I'm sorry for those who've heard a version of this. So Exodus 14. All right, we will read a bit of this. Let's pick it up in verse 4. It says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Verse 5, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping them by the sea besides Phiharoth before Baalzephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?'" Verse 12 now. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it has been had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness.'" Verse 13. "And Moses said unto the people, 'Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.'" And immediately when I read this, when I read this chapter to get my head around this theme scripture, I got really excited because it was based on something I had just thought about. And my interpretation of this chapter kind of wraps around the fact that sometimes we are under threat and the world does throw us trials. But the Lord really wants us to focus on what's important, and to keep moving forward to that real goal we have, that long-term goal. And, you know, in this story, the Israelites, when they realize the Egyptians are coming after them, you know, immediately they kind of turn around, they focus in on what that problem is. They kind of get consumed with that issue. I mean, because they've got death behind them and they got the sea in front of them, you know. As soon as there's a bit of trouble, sign of trouble, you know, they really start to worry about what the most prominent issue is. And they kind of lose sight of going forward. They turn around and think, "Oh, let's sort this out." Like, they kind of just totally forget about which way they're going. And sometimes that can happen with us. You know, things come up in our lives that distract us from our real goal. I mean, we all live in this world. We all know the things which pull us away, like our jobs, our houses, our cars, our careers, pretty much everything we have to do in the world has the potential to draw us away from the Lord, and we don't want to lose sight of the Lord. So, and in verse 14, just after everything that's happened, he says here, you know, the Lord shall fight for you. And I wanted to go through this scripture again because I thought it was really cool how in about three parts of this this section of reading we did, it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart about three times. He says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He made them realize that they were in a bad spot. And, you know, the Lord sends us trials and things that for us to overcome. But I thought that was a pretty cool comparison. You know, the Lord doesn't make it an easy ride for him, you know. He does harden Pharaoh's heart, makes him realize, and he gets him to go after him. And imagine if, you know, I think Pastor Kevin said it in his talk, imagine if, you know, like the Israelites had turned back, you know, they had nothing but death, like where they'd come from. You know, they were only going to get slain or they would have gone back into slavery. And that's the same for us. There's nothing back where we've come from. We've been freed of our old life, freed of the world, and there's nothing for us if we turn around. We've got to keep moving forwards. So my talk today is about going against your natural instinct to try and turn around and solve the problem. Sometimes it's hard because it seems like it's the most important thing when we have a trial come up, and we get so absorbed in it, or maybe another situation. But my talk today is going to be about going against that instinct and trying to keep your eye on the prize. Because we do have, it's a fact of our walk, we do have to live in this world. There is going to be this constant battle between the flesh and the spirit, but it's really important we keep our eye on the prize and we're going in the right direction, we're not turning back and going the other way. So just for a moment, I'm going to get you to stand up. Could I get you all to stand up for a second? Sorry to get you out of your chairs. So I'm going to get you to sit down if you work full-time or you work part-time. If you're at university or you're at TAFE or you do your shopping at the supermarket, I think that's everyone, or you play sport on the weekend or you game online. Come on, Jeff, you're young, you game online. Come on. So, I mean, we can all sit down. Sorry. I thought I would have covered everyone, but you get what I mean. We all have to live in the world. Like, it's a fact of life. We all have to be in this world some way or the other. So we're all going to go through this scenario, maybe except Nicole. But we're all going to go through this fight between our flesh and our spirit. But we've got to keep our eyes on the prize, keep moving in the right direction. So let's turn to Galatians 5. And before I read that out, there's a pretty well-known scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. So just to reiterate my point, you know, we're done away with our old lives. There's nothing back there for us in Egypt but sorrow and slavery. We've tasted of the things that are good. Like a few times this camp, if we turn around, we're just like going back to the dog going back to the vomit. There's nothing back for us there. We're new creatures. We've kind of made this choice to be in the Lord, to serve the Lord. So our eyesight should be, you know, in front, up to him. But like I just said, we do have to live in the world and we do have to mingle and, you know, talk to people. Obviously, there's good, that's a good thing, but it also can deter us away from the Lord. And it made me think of, you know, I've been a student at university and it made me think about how, you know, when to get through university, you know, you need financial help. So, you know, you need a part-time job. You do need a part-time job to kind of get you through, university, to keep you stable. But you know, if you work too much, if you take a lot of shifts, and you work overtime and you start working too much, your degree suffers, your education suffers. So it's kind of, it can be like that in the Lord, you know, keep the world part-time, keep, you know, your worldly life, the where you have to engage with the world, keep that part-time, keep that as your part-time job, focus on your degree, and get that kind of balance right. Sometimes it's pretty hard, but, we got to, you know, go against our natural instinct sometimes to, you know, to get the house, to get this and that, and to have this and that. But yeah, keep the world that part-time job. Keep focused on the degree. Yeah, so we'll read here in Galatians 5, and in verse 17, we'll pick it up here in verse 17. It says, actually, we'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And plain and simple, we can't be in the world and be in the fellowship at the same time. It says the two are contrary to the other. We can't do two things at the same time. If we're walking forward and we turn around to face the Egyptians to sort out their old, sort out things in the flesh, we'll be focusing on the flesh. That spiritual part is gone. We can't do both things at the same time. So we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord all the time, and kind of let him sort it out. It says there, let the Lord fight for you. The flesh just slows our growth down. Those fleshly things, the Lord can easily sort those things out later. But if we're led of the Spirit, and letting the Lord kind of guide our steps, and we're focusing on him all the time, we're going the right direction, he'll take care of it. So keep the world your part-time, right? Keep that section of your life as your part-time job. Don't let it interfere with your degree, your main goal. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a few more scriptures. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll pick it up here in verse 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And I really like this scripture, because it says there in verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honour and some to dishonor." The Lord knows we have these kind of earthly things that we need in our lives, things to keep us going, things that are maybe necessary in our walks. But he goes on to say in verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor." If we kind of reevaluate what's really important, we kind of reevaluate our walks maybe, or things that might be interfering. He goes on to say, he'll be sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And that's what we want to be like. We want to kind of realize and that there needs to be a balance, and keeping the Lord number one, and putting those things aside so that we can be focused on the Lord, so that we are being used, that we are, like it says here in verse 21, we are prepared unto every good work. Maybe we don't need to cut things out. We just need to learn how to balance our lives better and regulate things between the flesh and the spirit. When I was at uni, I was doing a performance degree, so I was doing jazz saxophone at uni. And my first lesson with my tutorer, he said, "How much practice are you doing a day?" And I said, "Oh, like 2 hours, maybe. Maybe." And he said, "All right, what I'm going to get you to do, I'm going to get you to create a timetable of your week, and I'm going to get you to highlight all the parts where you have the spare time you have." So next week came, and I'd put together this really nice spreadsheet, and it had, what times I was at uni, times I was at church, that kind of thing. And he said, "Highlight all the sections where you have free." And I highlighted it, and it ended up being, like hours by the end of the week. And he said, "All right, you're doing 4 hours of practice a day." And it changed from then. So I started doing 4 hours, and things started really improving. And it was just that kind of change in mentality you know, kind of putting aside those things and realizing, trying to be productive. And recently, because I'm OCD, I guess I'm kind of a bit of a neat freak, I recently did this again, just to prove my point. I was actually at Jules' house. I spent 3 hours putting together this really nice timetable, and I've brought it along today. So I've got columns of all the days of the week. On the side, I've got these horizontal columns are the time. I've color-coded what sections. I've got work, which is a massive chunk. All the green is fitness or sport. The blue is meetings, so Wednesday, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday. I've even got a bit of pink in there. That's for Jules. That's her time. But yeah, it's just it's. I mean, that's a bit extreme, right? That's quite an extreme example. But it's important to kind of put things into perspective and put prioritize. Make sure you're prioritizing the Lord. Because we don't want to lose sight of that main goal. We want to keep going forward, not letting that the world kind of slowly creep in. And like I said before, it's a natural instinct is just to turn and solve a problem that comes up. But that urge we have to turn around and sort it out, face the Egyptians who are coming back from Egypt, we just totally lose sight of where we're going. We lose our bearings, and we really don't want that in the Lord. It can be really dangerous. So we need to be heading in the right direction, because, like I said, if we're going backwards, there's nothing good for us there. All right, let's finish up in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. By the way, that timetable took me about 3 hours. I was really excited about that. And it's funny, I was at home and I'd gone home from Jules' house, and I came down the stairs. Kyle was sitting down. I was like, "Oh, you should try this thing. Like, it's really cool." Like, I got really excited about it. He was like, "What are you talking about? Like, throw that thing out." Just like, it was, really cut me down. All right. 1 Kings. I'm not even there. Chapter 17. All right. Let's pick it up in verse 7 here. And it said, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, and belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, verse 12, and she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So in this story here, Elijah, you know, the Lord commands the Lord to go unto Zarephath, and there's a widow there, and her and her son are dying. So we'll pick it up here in verse 13 again. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So it's kind of strange, like Elijah's come unto this place, and if this woman, her and her son's dying, and she's only got a little amount left to sustain her and her son, and she just knows that they're going to die. So she's just saying, leave me alone. You know, I've got my own problems. Don't ask of me. I've literally got nothing. But Elijah still says, you know, no, the Lord's commanded me to come here. You know, carry on, do this thing I've told you, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. which he spake by Elijah. And I thought this was just quite a cool parallel between, you know, what I was trying to, this the story of the Egyptians, and the point I'm trying to get across is that, you know, this lady, it was her instincts would have been yelling, "No way, like, I'm going to die. Don't ask me to do this thing, because, you know, I've only got a short time to live. This, I've only got little food." Elijah comes in and says, you know, "Just do this thing. The Lord's, you know, commanded me to do this thing. So just do it and we'll see what happens later." And then she does it. She gives him what he needs, that cake there. And then her all her supplies never run out. It says a cruse of oil and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. And, you know, it's really important that we just do it the Lord's way. We don't give in. We kind of, although it may seem ridiculous, it may seem like there's nothing else more important than your work in your walk just to do this thing. But it's really important that we kind of just forget about the circumstance, forget about the Egyptians who are coming after you, forget about all that. Just keep focusing on the Lord. Keep going in the right direction. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Set aside your own needs. You know, we always hear, put the Lord first, and he'll take care of the rest. He says the Lord will fight for you. We just need to fight that urge to turn back around, because there's nothing there. Press forward. Again, don't let the world or your commitments in the world become too important. You know, keep that as your part-time work. Stay focused on the Lord, because we have so much to inherit. That direction we're going, there's something at the end. And yeah, it is a long journey, but it does say here, the Lord shall fight for you. So let's keep going forward. And all the people said, Amen.